Live from Iowa, Wisconsin, the coin collector's capital of the world, it's Coin Chat Radio's Collecting Money, brought to you by your friends at Krause Publications, home to such fine hobby periodicals as Numismatic News, Coins, Coin Prices, World Coin News, and Banknote Reporter, and a definitive lineup of standard catalogs for coin and paper money collectors. I'm your host, Bob Van Rysen, editor of Coins Magazine. To learn more about our periodicals and books for the beginning to the advanced collector, stop by numismaster.com. Among the highlights of this week's episode of Collecting Money is a Gold Fever interview by Numismatics editorial director Debbie Bradley with dealer Tom Pilatowski about the metals market. Numismatic News editor Dave Harper talks to Matt Orzini, vice president of Sphinx Swythe, about the firm's upcoming sale of Costa Rican coins and banknotes. Online editor Lisa Bellevin interviews George Kuhe about the release of the fifth edition of Eric Newman's standard book on early paper money of America. And, beginning with comments by U.S. Mint Director Ed Moy, we'll take you to the Lincoln Memorial for the unveiling of the four new reverse designs for the 2009 Lincoln Cent in celebration of the 200th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth and the 100th anniversary of Victor D. Brenner's Lincoln Cent. We'll be back with a look at what's in the news after this break.
Are you wondering how to get the most money for your rare coins? Wonder no more. Ask your coin dealer to submit your coins to Professional Coin Grading Service for grading and authentication. You'll find out how much they're really worth. As the established industry standard, the PCGS grade is known throughout the marketplace to help generate top dollar for rare coins. That's why dealers and auctioneers want PCGS graded coins, whether they're from the United States or around the world. At PCGS, coins are more than just a hobby. They're our business. When you choose PCGS, you get our money-back guarantee of grading accuracy and authenticity, plus unique services like the Collector's Club, Price Guide, and Set Registry, where you can register your coins and display them for serious collectors. Visit our website, PCGS.com, and be sure to ask your coin dealer about PCGS.
Welcome back. This is Bob Van Rysen with a look at what's in the news. Four new Lincoln Cent reverse designs for 2009 were unveiled September 22nd on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. by Mint Director Ed Moy and Abraham Lincoln presenter Jim Rubin. Rubin unveiled the designs set up on easels on the memorial steps. The first design, showing a log cabin, represents Lincoln's birth in the state of Kentucky. The second features Lincoln, the rail splitter, sitting on a log reading. It marks his early life in Indiana. The third design shows him as a young professional in Springfield, Illinois, standing with the old state capitol behind him. Lincoln is not on the fourth design. The reverse honoring his presidency shows the Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C. being constructed even as the Civil War raged. The first reverse will be released on Lincoln's birthday, February 12, 2009. The others will follow at three-month intervals. After 2009, the Cents reverse will feature a design that is emblematic of President Lincoln's preservation of the United States as a single and united country. The obverse will continue to carry the Victor D. Brenner likeness. Joining Moy and Rubin for the ceremony were Harold Holzer, co-chairman of the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission, and Eileen Makovich, who is the commission's executive director. The U.S. Mint has run out of 1-ounce gold buffalo bullion coins and has suspended sales temporarily. It was announced September 25th. Currently, the Mint has sales of silver and gold American Eagle bullion coins on allocation to its authorized purchasers network because the demand is consistently exceeding its supply. The Buffalo coins could be put on allocation when the Mint has sufficient coins to begin selling them again. Supplies of fractional gold eagles are still available for sale from the Mint. The Mint also has supplies of platinum American eagles on hand. We'll be back with more of Collecting Money after this break.
Starting a collection? Adding to your collection? Completing your collection? Visit www.lccoins.com for a complete offering of U.S. certified and raw coins. With thousands of listings, weekly specials, and downloadable catalogs, this is a website you'll want to save in your favorites and visit often. New listings are added weekly. You can sign up for notification, shop a site, fill your cart, and take advantage of free shipping on all orders. LNC Coins, your complete source. www.lccoins.com. Choice BU rolls, proof rolls, below wholesale lots, commemoratives, gold coins, type coins, Lincolns, Buffaloes, Barbers, Morgans, Indians, Seated Liberty.
Hi, I'm Whitey Ford. I know a lot about breaking records, and right now gold and silver prices are at record-breaking highs. So now is the time to sell your old coins, gold jewelry, and diamonds for the highest possible price to my friends at Easton Numismatics in Garden City. I sold them my rare coin collection at a great price, and believe me, I shopped around. So take a tip from me, chairman of the board. Call Easton Numismatics today.
Call Easton Numismatics at 800-835-0008.
Welcome to Coin Chat Radio. I'm Debbie Bradley, Editorial Director of Numismatics at Krause Publications. My guest today on Gold Fever is Tom Pilatowski of U.S. Rare Coin Investments. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, Debbie. Thank you for inviting me today.
Well, with Wall Street shaking from a meltdown of our financial institutions, a lot of people are thinking of taking their paper money and stocks and turning them into hard assets like gold. What are you seeing happening?
Well, Debbie, not sure if shock is the right word, but let's say there's a heightened awareness of trouble out there, which is placing many investor-type coin people into a position of feeling fearful. Many appear to be a little frozen. It is a good time, I think, to reevaluate your coin investments and try to make a determination if you've got the right type of coins that match with what your coin investment goals are. And if you don't, take appropriate action, whether that's buying different coins, selling what you have, trading a little, consigning to auction, etc. There seems to be a lot of fear out there, and most of it's justified, too, with unprecedented losses in manufacturing, real estate, and banking, as we're seeing, while at the same time an equally giant increase in government size and spending. And it seems that neither of the presidential candidates running is addressing this imbalance and these losses with real solutions other than to print more money and grow government even larger, which is the problem to begin with. So what we're seeing is a surge toward what's been historically considered safe, and that's gold, silver, and other tangible assets. Rare coins are among them.
The Mint announced last week that it was temporarily suspending sales of the American Buffalo gold coins because it had run out of them. And that comes on the heels of a temporary sale suspension and now allocation of American gold coins. How are dealers able to meet the demands of their customers?
I think for the most part they're struggling to keep up, certainly with Eagles or New Buffaloes. The U.S. Mint sent a polite letter out recently that stated that they're not going to honor or fill any back orders either. So what you see out there is what you get. It's quite a market. Dealers are also selling some precious metals items like 100-ounce silver bars on deferred delivery. But there's little supply out there, so they must be hoping for a dip in prices. If that doesn't happen, I don't see how these deferred deliveries will become actual product. Not much in terms of basic products either, especially in the realm of silver. I could easily, for example, move millions of dollars in silver right now, but just can't get it. We've had periods like this before, if I remember, in the 1979-1980 market. And as far as today's market, if you're presented with the right product right now at a fair price, grab it. It might not be there tomorrow and probably won't be.
Are you seeing the same type of... we're talking bullion coins here, but how is the market for the rare coins? Is that just as tough?
It's very, very strong. There has been a lack of fresh material of real quality, even in the auction houses. Quite a few people who have been in this business for 20, 30 years, like myself, have gone on record as saying that we haven't seen such a lull in quality material at auctions since the early 1980s. It's pretty tough out there right now.
So the people who have the nice things are holding on to them.
They're in good shape, yeah.
What advice do you have for people who do want to maybe take a portion of their portfolio out of, you know, currency that they have in the bank or out of the stock market and put it into gold and silver?
First thing you need to do is to formulate and decide on the plan. What are you prepared to expend monetarily over what period of time? Use money that you do not anticipate needing for life's necessities over a medium to long period of time. Do think long term. consider building a set of coins, not just picking single coins from multiple series only to have a mishmash of different coins in varying conditions. Try to imagine what your plan or your collection or portfolio would look like to an auctioneer or dealer down the road when you decide to sell before you even buy the coins. You need a plan. Think quality. Think quality. Think quality. Just like real estate has location, 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 coins certainly has quality, quality, quality. Then you need a representative, a dealer. There are many people out there who have neither. They buy coins on the spur of the moment, from emotions, from different dealers or at different auctions, and never develop a professional working relationship with anyone or a real plan with what they're doing. Then they expect to get a good deal and make money. In the vast majority of cases, it ends poorly for them. Think in terms of other professionals that you deal with in life, from lawyers to accountants to doctors to even your computer tech. When it comes to your doctor or accountant, do you change doctors every year? Every time you feel sick, do you call a different doctor, or do you strive to see the same doctor when you need one? That doctor hopefully gets to know you, gets to know your system, prescribes accordingly to your makeup, what your needs are, your idiosyncrasies. I've been seeing the same dentist for 25 years. I couldn't imagine seeing anyone else. Once you have a plan and a dealer or two in which to help you weave your way through this business, you should be on your way to a positive experience and a positive investment as well. This can be a great investment from a financial sense, among other things. It can also be not so positive. Much of that is up to you. Think, and then develop a plan of action.
Sounds like good advice.
Thank you.
Any parting thoughts for our audience?
I think we're in the market of a lifetime, and certainly we're seeing real historic times in the economy. The new occupant of the White House is going to have his hands full, and unfortunately for us, it looks like more of the same. Therefore, I would be prepared to take advantage of the opportunities that exist in the coin business. There are many.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Debbie.
We'll be back right after this message.
Want to know how your coin collection compares to the very best? There's no better place to find out than the PCGS Set Registry. Exclusively for PCGS graded coins, the free interactive set registry is the ideal place for you to showcase your prize collection and enjoy friendly competition with other collectors in a secure environment. With the PCGS Set Registry, you can start a set with a single coin and watch your collection grow. You can display images of your coins, win awards, and more. And you'll make friends and compete with others who share your passion. You'll receive benefits like free submissions and pedigree service. You can register for free, and best of all, you'll have fun doing it. To learn more, visit pcgs.com and click on Set Registry. It's coin collecting at its very best.
Hi, I'm Dave Harper, editor of Numismatic News, and I have as my special guest this morning, Matt Orsini, who's the Vice President of Auctions for Spink Smythe. Welcome, Matt. How you doing?
Doing well, Dave. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well, too. Now, I understand your firm has a major Costa Rican collection coming up for auction. Can you tell us about it?
Certainly, Dave. What we've got coming up for auction is the Frederick R. Mayer Collection of Costa Rica. What that is, essentially, is an assemblage of coins, currency, and actually stamps from Costa Rica, which we'll be offering on the 22nd and 23rd of October.
Okay. Where will it be held?
It'll be held in New York. It'll be held at our gallery on 57th Street. It's 145 West 57th Street. It's actually pretty close to Carnegie Hall.
I see. If people want to come and bid in the auction, how do they get a catalog?
Well, they can go ahead and request it through me. What I would suggest is sending me an email. You can email me at morsini@spink.com. That's S-P-I-N-K.com. Or you can go ahead and give us a call. Our 800 number is 800-622-1880.
I see. And if they have access to online in the Internet, how would they access the lots?
Well, you can certainly bid online. What I would suggest doing is going to www.smytheonline.com, and from there we're going to have a little button on the on the web page, which will redirect you to our parent company, Spink, webpage. Our current web page is being redone, so it would redirect to Spink, and then from there you would be able to view our auction catalog online.
I see. Let's talk about what's in the auction.
Well, as far as in the auction, we've got some very exciting offerings. As I was previously saying, we're having a stamp part of the sale, which will be held on the 22nd of October, will be held through Spink Shreve's Galleries. That's another company underneath the parent Spink. Spink Smythe, the following day, will host the coin and currency section of the auction. And we really have it's a diverse and unusual, extremely unusual offering of Costa Rican material. It's very, very comprehensive in its nature, both from a standpoint of it's nearly complete. It's essentially a complete collection of Costa Rican material, starting from when Costa Rica was part of the Central American Republic and up through its Republic days into modern times.
Okay.
So it really is an incredible collection.
Let's start with the coins. You say it starts with the Central American Republic. Can you give us some of the highlights?
Some of the highlights within that section, we have an offering of the 8 reals type. Now, there are two types that were made in 1831 for Costa Rica, both with different assayers' initials, one with E, one with F. We have a example with the CR, that would be Costa Rica, the CRE type, that's uncirculated, which is never seen. It's an extremely rare coin. This particular example has been off the market for over 25 years.
Wow. Give us another highlight.
Well, within the gold section of it, the 8 escudos, really impressive grouping. I would say that we have several that are certainly uncirculated for the type. And also, all the rarer dates of the type are represented as well. Most of them, if not all of them, above XF condition. So it's, you know, not only is it a beautifully designed coinage, but it's in impeccable quality, which is really, really impressive. Now, as far as the Republic of Costa Rica goes, there's also the silver miners. And what Frederick Mayer did for this portion of the collection, which is really stunning, is he collected by die state, so obverse and reverse die pairings, which is, it's never seen in numismatics. It could be compared to maybe a large cent collector collecting by Sheldon number, but within world coins, it's very rare to see and very, very impressive.
Well, that's very interesting. And are these all very, very expensive, or are there some reasonable expense ones also?
You know, it'll suit the collector from the novice or the beginner to the most expert collector of Costa Rica material out there. Some of the lots we tried to keep with Mr. Mayer's intent of the collection, which it was very, very important to him to collect by, his comprehension, not only that, but quality. So when there was a date that wasn't maybe a rare date, he collected by die state. You know, you would have your obverse 4 reverse Bs and that sort of stuff. So in the collection, in the portion of the collection that isn't maybe extremely valuable, we went ahead and did lot pairings of his die study, so somebody would be able to obtain a Costa Rican die study, which is historical. It's just very, very interesting to me. I suppose many other of the maybe beginning collectors who would like to get into Costa Rica and learn more about the country through its coinage.
I see. So Mr. Mayer was a very meticulous man, and he's left records behind. What else characterizes what he was doing?
You know, not only did he collect coins, he collected currency as well, which is typically you see somebody focus in. Not only did he focus in, but he stepped back as well. So he went and collected coins, currency, and again, stamps. His currency has many, many specimen notes that have been off the market for, again, 20, 30 years, and they have beautiful portraiture on them, beautiful engravings, vivid colors. It has the feel of a South American, Central American culture. It comes out through its currency just as well as it comes out through the coins. And many of the notes are prohibitively rare, and the specimen notes and some of the regular issues are perhaps unique.
I see you mentioned the number of the coins and the note lots have been off the market for 20 or 30 years. Just how long had Mr. Mayer been a collector?
Well, it all started back in the 60s. And to say that is probably an inaccuracy, because if you're a collector, you're a collector from infancy. Mr. Mayer did have very nice collections. He has both art, coins, currency, stamps. He was really across the board, but his collection and love for Costa Rica really picked up or started in the 60s. And we see from many of the original flips that are within the collection, the late 70s and 80s is when he was really focusing in. And he picked up pieces from the historic Hamel sale that was conducted by Stacks, plenty of Norweb, Elias Berg coins within the collection. And also he had an ally in a close dealer friend of his, Freeman Craig, which you see he collected. Freeman was working for Mr. Mayer and picked up a lot of the harder material on his behalf.
Well, those are certainly very distinguished provenances, and to leave evidence behind from these individuals would certainly give buyers a very great flavor of the collector, and that's kind of unusual, isn't it?
It's very unusual, and I think it's one of the more joyful thing within this great hobby that we have. There are certain collections that are legendary. I mean, truly legendary. Everybody's heard of Elias Berg. Within Costa Rica now, everybody's going to hear of Mayer. But to be able to trace a coin's existence back to a great collector, and sometimes before that great collector, is, I think that's one of the greatest joys, because I think one of the reasons that I personally like coins and currency is that it leads into history. It's a great lead-in. If you can trace it back to a great collector or a great collection, it only adds to the history that's already inherent inside the coin. It's a combination that's rarely seen, and it's very desirable.
I see. What kind of crowd are you expecting when bidding opens?
You know, we do expect a great crowd. We've already had an incredible amount of people from Latin America and elsewhere within the States, as well as abroad, really, contact us about what time the auction is, when should we be in, when's lot viewing. So when the auction starts, we'll probably expect 40 to 50 people in the room, which for any auction that's this specific is a great amount. And we have live bidding online, so we expect a lot of people to be joining us that way as well.
I see. Online bidding and bidding in person. You're making it as convenient as possible for buyers to acquire this significant collection at auction. Who else? Are you expecting any dignitaries at the sale?
We are expecting the Costa Rican ambassador to be present. We've been told through a third party that he'll be present, and he is a large collector, so we can't wait to have him, as well as I'm sure there will be people that we weren't expecting that just happened to love coinage and currency from this very, very popular region.
We are very fortunate. He is a very active collector. I had the honor of presenting F. Tomas Duenas with a Numismatic Ambassador Award about 6 years ago. So congratulations for having him in your auction room.
Well, thank you.
Any last words on how to make contact and get a catalog for our listeners? When will the lots be up online for them to view?
They should be posted October 1st. So anybody who wants to go online, again, smytheonline.com, it'll redirect to Spink. And again, if you have any interest in postal history, Mr. Mayer was also a very active and avid collector of that type of material, and some of the covers, as I understand it, are, again, have been off the market for many, many years and are very desirable. So it's something where, as a company, we're very, very proud to be able to present, not only because it is of impeccable quality, but it's just, it shows the love that was put in. The collection really shows that there was a lot of time and love, and it's something that people seldom have the opportunity to present anymore.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for being our guest today.
No, you're welcome, Dave. Have a nice day.
We'll be right back.
Starting a collection? Adding to your collection? Completing your collection? Visit www.lccoins.com for a complete offering of U.S. certified and raw coins. With thousands of listings, weekly specials, and downloadable catalogs, this is a website you'll want to save in your favorites and visit often. New listings are added weekly. You can sign up for notification, shop a site, fill your cart, and take advantage of free shipping on all orders. LNC Coins, your complete source. www.lccoins.com. Choice BU rolls, proof rolls, below wholesale lots, commemoratives, gold coins, type coins, Lincolns, Buffaloes, Barbers, Morgans, Indians, Seated Liberty.
Hi, I'm online editor Lisa Bellavin here with George Kuhe, editor of many of our fine Krausey products and standard catalogs, and we are going to have a quick chat about one of the newest Krausey books called The Early Paper Money of America by Eric P. Newman. Thank you for joining us, George.
Hi, good morning, Lisa.
What can you tell us about this new book?
Well, for those who are familiar with Eric Newman, he's been a lifelong collector, and one of his passions has been the early paper money of America. He's done a great amount of research into the financial history of colonial America, as well as the independent colonies and the early states and the monetary systems in use at the time. And he compiled this book now in its fifth edition. It comes out at 425 pages, and it retails for $95.
$95. And what sort of special features does this fifth edition have that the fourth did not?
We've expanded tremendously the amount of pricing for the listings. Many colonial banknotes have come on the market in recent years, and there's been a great activity in the colonial paper money field. So Stuart Levine has been the market consultant, and the book has been published, and many of the listings are priced in four grades of condition. Also, we've added a tremendous amount of color photography. Originally, Eric Newman designed the book using photocopies of banknotes, and with the technology at the time, that worked okay, but now that the digital age is upon us, we were able to transfer many of the images into color, and people could really appreciate the printing technology of the late 1700s and see how far advanced the paper money printers were at the time.
And this book has been in the production stages for quite a while. Is that correct? A couple of years we've been working on this book?
It's had a few bumps and starts along the way, but we were really anxious to get it published. So we've really concentrated on it in the last few months and got it out the door.
Great. And what type of collector is going to be really interested in purchasing this book?
The book really attracts many markets. The financial history of each of the issues for both the state and colonial era are enumerated, and there's a lot of background information. Historians, economists, as well as the banknote collectors of the various state issues.
And the book's available now?
Yes, it's available on our website or through your favorite book dealer. It's on CrowseyBooks.com, and the order number is Z0101.
Okay, and again, that's $95, correct?
Yes, $95, and you'll really enjoy it. It's a hardcover format. It covers the early notes starting in the 1690s in Massachusetts colony and continues into the late 1790s.
That's really interesting to me that it was a hardcover. So many others, so many other Crowsey publications are softcover now. Is there a reason why we chose to do hardcover?
All of Eric's books have been hardcover, so we continued in that tradition. Also, since it's such a large book and it's printed well on nice glossy stock, it just adds a really nice touch to the material. Since many of the colonial banknotes are quite expensive, it sort of fits into a colonial banknote library and looks really nice on the shelf. You're collecting nice material, so a nice hardcover book goes nicely with the product. One special feature that Eric's included in all of his books has been notations as to the signers of the different series of notes. So it also adds to the history that since many of the signers of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence at one time signed banknotes of those particular colonies that they represented. And it's just another way that colonial collectors collect.
And as a banknote collector yourself, what's your favorite part of the book?
I really like the history behind everything. Why things were issued in odd denominations or what we consider odd denominations today, and also just having been educated in the printing field, the different printing methods that were used. They used intaglio printing, they used letterpress printing, and they were really detail-oriented with the type fonts, the color, registration, on many of the 2 and 3 color notes.
It really is a beautiful book. Try to get online and check out the cover if you can, and visit www.crowseybooks.com if you'd like to purchase. Thanks so much for joining us, George.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
I didn't know what to do. Who could I sell my husband's rare coins to for the most money?
An important message from Eastern Numismatics.
Saul spent his life acquiring thousands of coins, including gold and silver. But when he passed away, I needed the cash more than the collection. My attorney had the answer. He suggested calling Eastern Numismatics, Long Island's oldest and largest rare coin company.
Eastern Numismatics, 1-800-835-0008.
The experience was wonderful. To my surprise, the people from Eastern wrote me a check for thousands more dollars than I thought the coins were worth.
At Eastern Numismatics, we conduct all appraisals in strict privacy. We'll evaluate any collection, large or small, without asking how much do you want for it. For larger collections, we'll even come to you.
Eastern Numismatics, 1-800-835-0008.
We're licensed, bonded, and belong to the Better Business Bureau. Be sure you're getting top dollar. Call us before you sell.
Eastern Numismatics, 1-800-835-0008. There is no substitute for experience.
I've recently inherited my dad's prize coin collection, and I have no idea what to do with it.
Yes, he had some pretty interesting old coins, as I recall. Whatever you do, don't just sell them to the first person who comes along. Go to the PCGS website and discover your options. You may be pleasantly surprised.
What's PCGS?
Well, PCGS is the Professional Coin Grading Service. Only by having your coins graded and authenticated will you know how valuable they really are. Then you can decide whether to sell them or not. Who knows? You may find coin collecting as fascinating as your dad did, and you may want to build on his collection. PCGS has even set up a new website that tells you exactly what to do. Just go to pcgs.com/start here and you'll be all set.
Thanks for the tip. I'm going to get my new coins graded as soon as I can by PCGS.
Welcome to the Lincoln Memorial. My name is Ed Moy, and I'm the 38th Director of the United States Mint, and we've chosen this historic site to make history ourselves. Today, we unveil the new designs for the Lincoln 1-cent coin to the American people. This momentous occasion in the history of our nation's coinage, because these designs represent the first change in the Lincoln cent in half a century. These coins are a tribute to one of our greatest presidents. He believed that all men were created equal, and his life was a model for accomplishing the American dream through honesty, integrity, loyalty, and a lifetime of education. Joining us today for this news conference are the co-chair and the executive director of the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission. And we also have a special guest, President Lincoln himself. We're here because in 2009, the United States Mint will introduce a series of 4 1-cent coins in honor of the bicentennial of Abraham Lincoln's birth and the 100th anniversary of the Lincoln 1-cent coin. The obverse, or head side, will stay the same on the new pennies, and that's a bust of Lincoln designed by Victor Brenner. But next year, there will be 4 new images on the reverse, or tail side, of the 1-cent coin, and those designs we unveil today. Congress directed the United States Mint to produce the 4 new Lincoln 1-cent coins in 2009 to celebrate the 4 phases of Abraham Lincoln's life: his birth and early childhood in Kentucky, his formative years in Indiana, his professional life in Illinois, and his presidency in Washington, D.C. The first coin honoring his birth will be issued on his birthday, February 12, 2009. The United States Mint will produce one more reverse design in 2010 that will be emblematic of President Lincoln's preservation of the United States as a single and united country. We will unveil that coin design next year. Guiding us in the creation of all the new 1-cent designs is the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission, created by Congress to organize the commemoration of the 200th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth. The Lincoln penny was first circulated in 1909, and the obverse, which is Lincoln in profile, is the longest running coin design in American history. The appearance of Lincoln on the coin was stubbornly advocated by President Theodore Roosevelt, even though no person, living or dead, had ever appeared on an American coin. The first Lincoln penny had ears of wheat on the reverse, and it was changed to an image of the Lincoln Memorial in 1959, which was the 50th anniversary of the issuance of the coin. So before we begin the program, I'd like to give a special shout to third grade students from Hyde Elementary School here in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us. Coins are for use in cash transactions, but they are also used to educate. The 50 State Quarter Program has taught geography and state history to third graders just like you all over the country. And it's my hope that America's new Lincoln pennies will help you learn more about this great man and this great president. Thank you so much for being here today to help us honor Abraham Lincoln. Each one of you will receive a penny planchet, which is the piece of metal that we use to make a penny. You actually get a penny, and you also get a copy of the Gettysburg Address today before you go home. It's an honor to have Harold Holzer here with us this morning. Harold is one of the three co-chairmen of the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission, along with Illinois Senator Richard Durbin and Illinois Congressman Ray LaHood, which are the other co-chairmen. Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission was created by Congress to be responsible for the commemoration next year of the 200th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth. Harold is one of the leading authorities on Abraham Lincoln, and he's authored 31 books on Lincoln and the Civil War era. His help has been invaluable in the new design of the Lincoln 1 cent coins. Please welcome Harold Holzer.
Thank you, Mr. Director, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mr. President. On behalf of the ALBC and my co-chairs, I wanted to thank the Mint for making this day possible. I'd like to pay special tribute to three commissioners who led the committee that worked so closely with the Mint on the Lincoln penny, Commissioners Gene Bandler, Tommy Turner, and Joan Flintspaugh, who are all here today. Please stand up. Thanks to all of our commissioners. Commissioner Daryl Bigham is here, and our communications committee, particularly for continuing that effort. All of them brought their instincts and expertise to this collaboration. Standing here in the shadow of America's most monumental tribute to Lincoln and most unique tribute to Lincoln, Daniel Chester French's iconic statue and the temple that houses it, it seems altogether fitting and proper, as Lincoln might have said, to focus as well on the smallest and the most ubiquitous of America's tributes to Lincoln, the copper penny. As a poor child, Lincoln regarded coins and currency as precious, reflecting hard work, ambition, and American opportunity. And as a young leader, he wanted very much to see money in wide circulation all the time. He hated it, he said, when money did nothing more than rust in iron boxes. So he would have been very pleased, I think, that the common penny has not been rusting in iron boxes. It's been with us for a century, as the director said, and for 50 years featured a profile, an image of this memorial. And now for the bicentennial, it will reflect his roots and his growth as a man who was fine-tuned through residence in three distinct states and destined to make his greatest impact here in Washington. A Kentuckian by birth, a Hoosier by migration, and an Illinoisan by choice, Lincoln emerges in all these pennies just as he would want to be remembered, as a man of, by, and for the people, all the people. And maybe it wouldn't have been lost on him, too, that this ceremony is taking place on a sacred day in Lincoln history. 136 years ago today, Abraham Lincoln issued the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, fulfilling the founder's promise at last of a more perfect union. Common-looking people are the best in the world, Lincoln once told his private secretary. That is the reason the Lord makes so many of them. Telling that tale, he added that he thought it was rather a neat thing. Lincoln would undoubtedly regard it as a neat thing as well, that the icon that remains the most accessible on Earth, the copper penny, now bears not only the common-looking face we regard these days as our national emblem, but also acknowledgments to the stages of life that brought him all the way here to do nothing less than save our country. Thank you very much.
Now, it is my great honor to bring to the podium a special guest, the 16th President of the United States. Except for the possible exception of George Washington, he's the most beloved and respected president in the history of the United States. And his birthday coming up on 200 years, he has also aged very gracefully. Please welcome Abraham Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Unlike it was at my inaugural address, when I started to the podium, cumbersome as it was, carrying my top hat, my cane, and my speech, a fellow by the name of Stephen Douglas came up and offered to hold my top hat for me. So, but I made it anyway. I'll just set it here. By golly, this coin thing is a great honor for me. But it still puzzles me. I was walking along this reflecting pool this morning, and I caught a glimpse of my own image. I really and truly cannot comprehend why certain officials would choose this homely countenance of mine to implant on the image on a coin. As I said to one crowd at a whistle stop along the way here for my first inaugural address, quote, I have stepped out upon this platform here that I may see you and that you may see me. And in that arrangement, I have the best of the bargain. Which reminds me, I recall when I was a young man, I was riding a horse in the woods one day, and I met a young lady on a horse in the woods, and she was lost. So being the honorable man as I was, I showed her the proper path. So once she got on that path, some gratitude, she looks around at me and she says, you've got to be the homeliest man I believe I've ever seen. Well, I said to her, I said, ma'am, I can't help that. I can't do anything about it. She had one more thing to say as she rode off. She says, well, maybe you should try staying at home. So I guess if you're homely, that's the place to be. Let's come back to this event of the day. Clearly, someone thinks my Craigie old face is worth looking at. 100 years ago, next year, my face first appeared on the penny, and some has already been said, and it stayed there ever since. Even with the changes the government plans to make for the penny for next year, my 200th birthday, they'll still keep looking at my face. It's going to be there. That's not going to change, people. I'm sorry. How many millions of our countrymen and how many around the world have held a penny and looked at my face? What an honor. For a simple boy from the prairie, which Mr. Hoser's already mentioned, it's all very humbling to me. Mr. Hoser said just a bit ago, the Lord has made many common-looking people. Thank you very much, all of you, for honoring this common man. Have a good day. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, President Lincoln, and thank you, Jim Rubin, who is our Lincoln presenter here today. And he's also the governor of West Virginia's appointed liaison to the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission. So now's the time to see the new Lincoln 1 cent designs. President Lincoln, Harold, Eileen, will you assist me in unveiling the designs? Ladies and gentlemen, we give you the 2009 Lincoln 1 cent coin design. Well, Americans can look forward to checking their change beginning February 12, 2009 for the first design, which is the log cabin penny. I'd like to thank Harold Holzer and Eileen Makovich of the Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission and our Lincoln presenter, Jim Rubin, for participating today. We also like to thank the Hyde Elementary School third graders for being here. We'll be here for a few minutes. If you have any questions, thank you so much for coming.
Numismatics is not just a hobby, it's an industry filled with exciting people, history, organizations, and market influences. So, what's the state of the industry in 2008? Numismatic News will be devoting a special issue entirely to that question. Now, all we need is you. We want to know your opinions on the state of the industry. What's hot? What are you buying? How is the economy influencing your collecting? And how do we grow the hobby? Your knowledge and ideas make our special issues the heartbeat of numismatics. Let us know what you think about the industry by emailing Editorial Director Debbie Bradley at debbie.bradley@fwpubs.com. The deadline for submissions is Wednesday, October 15th. Also, visit the forums page of numismaticnews.net to see what others are saying and join the conversation. Then, be on the lookout for our special State of the Industry edition when it hits shelves on November 14th. Faster search, all access, new low price. Numismaster.com is now offering pricing information from all the standard catalogs online for one low price. Whether you collect francs, pesos, or dollars, from 1600 till today, all the pricing information you need is at your fingertips for $79.95 per year or $9.95 per month. The new streamlined search and the best numismatic news and features on the net make now the time to make Numismaster your number one resource for everything coins. Visit Numismaster.com to explore the site and sign up today.
And that concludes today's show. I want to thank all of our special guests, and thank you for listening. If you have any comments or questions on today's show, be sure to send them to our email address at coinchatradio@fwpubs.com. That's coinchatradio@fwpubs.com. Remember, we like to collect money and to talk about it, so join us live next week Thursday at 11 a.m. Central for another installment of Collecting Money.